Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Voyager actor, Robbie Duncan McNeil, or Robbie D, or Robbie McDunk, or Robbie, or just, hey, McNeil.
Or RDM.
RDM.
Hey,
Rhythm.
Hey, you.
Has anyone said Rhythm to you?
No, I don't think anyone has said Rhythm. Hey, Rhythm.
Up with the new one. What's up, Rhythm?
Good. Okay, it's good. Rhythm.
All right. And myself, your favorite forever ensign, Garrett Wong. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/TheDeltaFlyers. Hello,
wow.
Robbie.
Hello, oh, sir.
Ooh, I'd almost forgotten how to do an intro since you've been introing it for so long. So,
I've been doing the whole last season.
You have been.
Of
you
episodes. Have been. But it's yeah. nice that you came around for this kind
this
of
one?
End of our run of the Voyager episodes. And
we have decided, everybody, that today we're going to talk about season 8 of Star Trek Voyager. If Voyager continued for another season, we did not end at season 7. We did not end in orbit of Earth. If we didn't do that, what would happen? What would happen to Tom Paris and Harry Kim and all the other characters, all your favorite characters in Voyager? What plot lines, what shoestrings would have been tied up? Because there's a lot of unanswered questions.
Unanswered questions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes. So I had a few thoughts because I was stressing about this episode, this podcast episode.
Really? Kind of like I was stressing about doing the Christmas episode the first time. You were cool as a cucumber, and I kept looking
because
for
that
cracks
was silly
in you.
No,
yes.
That was silly.
But that's the thing. I didn't realize that whenever it comes to silly, that's easy.
I'm fine with silly.
That you are so fine with doing silly or finding the funny, right?
Yes.
But doing serious, you got nervous. And doing serious, because that's all I seem to do, or all I get cast for, is serious dramatic roles. That's where I'm most comfortable, where I feel like, fine, we can figure something out.
Yeah.
Sweating.
Well, this one made me a little nervous. I was thinking about it a lot.
Mm.
And one thing I think that would have happened in season 8.
Yeah.
That if we had gotten back to Earth and season 8 was all about the fallout of the result of 7 years in the Delta Quadrant.
Yes.
I think our season 8 would not have been at all like the series, where it was very episodic, right? There was a story of the week. I think season 8 would have been much more serialized. It would have been much more long story arcs over the whole season, because in a way, going back to Earth is more serialized. You've got to connect the dots. You can't just have an episode where the doctor writes a book and it doesn't connect to anything else. So I think season 8 would have been much more arced out with longer stories. I really do.
Okay. I agree really with that.
Do. The ending was so abrupt, and we just see the ship flying towards Earth, the Armada with Voyager heading back to Earth, but we don't know what happens. So,
well, let's just talk about the sequence of events. Okay, so the last thing that we see is Voyager in orbit, and Janeway says, set a course for home, and thrusters, Mr. Paris, or whatever, and we're gone. We go back, and that we don't see anything beyond that. So, really, you know, if we pick it up from there, clearly, there's going to be this grand reception, right, when we get back. There will probably be a parade larger than when a Super Bowl team wins the Super Bowl, because we've been gone for that long. I mean, this is a huge thing. I'm guessing this would have taken place in San Francisco, right, in the streets of San Francisco.
Yeah.
That would have happened.
Yeah, I think the first episode of season 8 is going to be celebration. It's
celebration,
going to be all
excitement.
And
I'm going to say that there's going to be this crazy, like all the Voyager main players, we are eating food like never before. Because think about it. We've been eating Neelix's food, which is fine. Yes. Some of us like it, but most of us are like, okay, we'll get by. This is sustenance for us. It's not the best tasting food, but it's sustenance. So I feel like in that first episode, celebration and all of us just pigging out on just you name it. Like, you know, let's just get I'm ordering lasagna. I'm ordering chicken cordon bleu. I'm ordering, you know, a prime rib. Like everyone's going to be going into this food coma. Like, you know, and that's kind of funny.
I feel like I feel like that first episode is this celebration, eating and just being back in real earth.
Right. But you can't have a full hour of an episode of just celebration. So there's got to be,
I think it's celebration. Stuff. And then I think, the celebration, it's the reunions.
The reunions of the loved ones, everyone's family.
Yes. I feel like everybody's reunions.
Okay, so let's go through them. Janeway reunions with who? Does she go up to Mark and say, hey, I'm back? Is Mark, and the question is, has Mark moved on? Is Mark still
Mark has moved on.
He's moved on. So that's gone, right?
Yeah. I think there's a great opportunity with Janeway seeing Mark.
Because she has to get her dog back. On. She has to get the dog back. The dog is still alive. Okay.
She's got to get her dog back.
I'm going to say that dog was probably 2 when she left and 9 when she got back. So that's still alive, definitely.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like in that scene, it would be amazing to see her heartbreak of he's moved on. She's got her dog. And then she also, as Mark leaves, she looks over and there's Chakotay, you know, and 7. Maybe Chakotay is introducing, you know, Chakotay and 7's aunt. Is there, you know, the one that we saw on her.
Yes, yes.
And there's a wonderful, happy reunion. And Janeway's
saying everyone is, sorry to interrupt you, but you're saying everyone is at the same location? So it's during one of the celebrations that all the relatives are there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. Sure. I think it's like a formal reunion where everybody's meeting for the first time at, you know, Starfleet headquarters or something at their...
Right. Okay. So continue. So you see 7 with her aunt. Yeah, for sure.
7 and Chakotay. And 7 and Chakotay are, you know, coupling it up. They are, you know, in the romance phase of a relationship and they are happy. And Janeway, I feel like that moment is sad. Like she sees Chakotay.
Yeah.
Some regret there.
But I don't want her Mark meeting to happen here. Okay, so I feel like in this big thing that's everyone, but because Mark has already moved on, I feel like that I would like that in a separate scene where she travels to Mark to go get the dog. I mean, I'm just saying, you see what I'm saying? Because then she can really just, what if we have a scene where she's just bawling with him? All this emotion comes out would be crazy to see, but be awesome. But if we separate it, it'd be kind of nice, right? Where if we see her like looking at Chakotay with 7 and feeling like, oh man, you know. Just feeling some weird feelings there.
Yeah, maybe, just a little regret a little of tension, like there could have been something there for Chakotay and her, but she couldn't do that while she was out in the Delta Quadrant.
And now she stopped herself.
Things have moved on. Yep.
Yeah. If they stayed on that planet with that bathtub, they would have been a couple.
Yeah.
They would have been a couple because that would have, you know, they wouldn't have been able to leave that planet. So they would have said, okay, let's proceed. Let's go to the next step. Okay. So then who else is...
Well, Chakotay's gonna meet 7's family, and I think Chakotay's father is still alive.
Ooh, maybe.
I feel like there's got to be someone.
Someone from some cousin or brother or sibling from his tribe. But would there also be Maquis friends there too?
Well, here's the thing about the Maquis. I mean, funny you bring this up, because I think the... Okay, here's... Take a step back from this first episode.
Let's go back.
For season 8, there are some unanswered issues.
Between who?
Maquis. We had half a Maquis crew and half Starfleet.
Right.
While we were gone, as I understand it, the Cardassian War has ended. Okay. The Maquis were either killed or rounded up because they were all terrorists.
Correct.
And so there's no Maquis left.
Okay. So... Is Chakotay in handcuffs because
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, how do they deal with that?
They have to give him a pardon.
They give him a pardon.
They melded, right? They became one crew. They became a Starfleet crew under Janeway.
But I think there's some season-long story with the Maquis left in season 8. I don't think we're done with the Maquis, even though the Maquis are mostly in jail.
Right.
I think throughout, that's why I'm saying, I think it's a serialized season where
They
find out.
Chakotay maybe, and B'Elanna and some of the other Maquis on Voyager actually go to the prison to visit some of their friends, you know, and talk with them. And maybe there's some tension and drama there where the Maquis felt like they were abandoned by Chakotay and
I think so. I think they're torn a bit during the season with this Maquis issue. And I think that's going to, with Tom and B'Elanna, become a problem. There's going to be some conflict. Okay.
So there'll be some conflict there. We can bring
I think that's like halfway through this season eight.
Sure.
So that the Maquis work. Is one issue that we haven't dealt with.
Correct.
It's going to be a big part. Come back. We're going to go, you know, we started the pilot with half Maquis, half Starfleet. Season eight is going to have some of that story throughout the season, I think.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think we have not dealt with Janeway's breaking the Prime directive over and over and over again. And in fact, like when they come back, and again, this is season, I'm taking a step back from this first episode, but I think when they find out that Janeway from the future broke the temporal Prime directive, went back in time and got them here, now the timeline screwed. So there's some issues.
So some issues to tie up there with timeline issues.
Yeah, okay. I do.
That's fine. Those could be some great episodes. That could be a whole, that could be a very long arc.
I think that's a whole season.
That's a whole season arc. Yes.
I think that's Janeway's arc this season, is to try to fix the temporal prime, the timeline.
Okay. That's a good,
to try
that's
to a somehow good direction. Go back and fix it. I think that's a season eight arc. That's and I think direction. The other season eight arc is, I think with Seven being Borg and now being on Earth, I think there's going to be some problems with that. And also, we came through a Borg, what was it called? The thing that got us back home? A Borg.
A transwarp conduit.
Transwarp conduit.
Yeah.
But they've got these all over. They got a network of this, right?
Well, I mean, we destroyed that network, kind of. We shut that one off. But there are other options, yes.
There's other. I guess what I'm saying is, I
think there were a total of six in the galaxy.
They had some of these transwarp conduits.
Yeah.
We blew up the network, but the collective, and the Queen's dead, but the collective, the computer, the AI of the Borg is still going. They know how to make.
Is it? Because when she finally died, then there is that exterior space shot of the complex where she was at exploding, like everything, like the entire central headquarters of Borgdom was being blown up. Do you remember that shot?
I do.
So
I don't.
So who's still alive?
Well,
I mean, okay. So clearly,
here's what I'm getting at. I'm being coy with all this.
Oh, be coy.
Seven's still alive. And Seven was very special to the Queen, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
I think Seven's going to have some Borg issues in season eight.
Okay.
Is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's going to have some Borg issues.
I hear you.
I think when the Queen dies, you got to find another Queen, right?
Yeah.
See where I'm going with this?
I hear where you're going with this, but I would like to see this as a season one cliffhanger where you hear something, where she starts hearing some Borg voice, and that's the arc for all of season two.
Season two? What do you mean?
Season nine. Excuse me. Season nine.
Well, here's you see another what I'm
saying? Because if you're saying it was Janeway trying to change the temporal prime directive, and then you throw another huge storyline of Seven doing that, you're putting so much.
But here's what I think. Here's my season eight in my mind.
Yes.
And again, I'm taking a big step back.
Go ahead. Yeah. Janeway, go ahead.
I think Janeway is feeling a little responsible for some mistakes she made. Prime directive mistakes, and particularly the future Janeway temporal prime directive.
I'll buy that.
That is her mission for season eight.
Great.
I think for Seven, she's still got Borg nanoprobes in her.
Yeah.
And I think when the Queen died, what I imagine is that it starts off really good for Seven and Chakotay. They're in the romance phase. And then weird stuff starts happening halfway through season eight. She's like having nightmares and she's not feeling human. Like she's reacting to all of these human feelings and this connection with the Borg that's still happening somehow. Yeah. She's hearing voices, having nightmares.
Yeah.
That starts up. And at the same time, halfway through, Janeway says, hey, Seven, you need to help me get back through. We need to go back in time and stop Janeway from coming through the time warp. You know, she came through.
Wait,
from
who's the telling her that? Who's telling her that?
Janeway says, Seven.
Yes.
The only way to do this is to, yes. is, you know, we came through a transwarp conduit.
Yeah.
Are there more, you know, she finds out that Seven's got, still got some connection to the Borg. So Seven and Janeway have to team up halfway through.
To close all the conduits, basically.
To close all the conduits and to go back to when Janeway came from the future, stop that from happening. Even if Janeway from the future dies attempt.
Janeway. Okay. So current Janeway wants to stop future Janeway from coming back again. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. But she's got to figure out a way to go loop it.
How is she get?
She's got to go jump it.
No, but if she stops that, she'll never, then she, we would not be back in the Alpha Quadrant then. If she stops that. It's Admiral Janeway that brings us back early. How do you?
There's got to be something to fix the temporal timeline for Janeway in season 8.
I was with you on making this like a cliffhanger at the end of season 8. I'm with you starting with Seven having these nightmares in the beginning of season 8. That's fine. And in fact, immediately when you said nightmare, I immediately thought one of the nightmares would be she'd be lying in bed and she just opens her eyes, turns over, and tubules come out and assimilate, and it starts to assimilate Chakotay. Like Chakotay. That's one of the nightmares.
Yeah.
His whole face starts turning Borg. So that's one of the nightmares there. So
yeah. I think there's some Borg stuff to happen. And I love the idea that Seven is being lured into almost becoming the next queen. Like, come back.
Yes, there you go. There you go. She's the protege.
She's the protege.
Right.
She's going to be the next queen. That's her arc for the season.
That's fine. What we did not complete was the homecoming meetings. Okay. So let's go through those. So we already said for Seven would only be her aunt. For Janeway, I said I'd like another scene away from the Starfleet headquarters reunion, right, with Mark. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then Chakotay with a couple of his, you know, family members, maybe his father, if he's still alive. And then we go to Tom. So it would be your dad. Admiral Paris would be there. Have we established other family members for Paris?
No.
How would that meeting look like? What would that meeting look
like? I think
like?
In the beginning, in this first episode of season 8, it would be a great meeting. It would be like
you
lots
does
of
he
emotion.
Hug you? Does he hug you? And yes. Does he hold you tight and all that?
Yes.
And show all the emotion he never showed you when you were younger?
I think he does. I think he shows a ton of emotion. I think Tom does too. Yeah.
But and you do see some drama and conflict happening later.
Well, and here's the drama and conflict, I think, for Tom and his dad.
Yeah.
He comes back and, you know, they, because of this loss, you know, his father thought he had lost him. And that's why there's so much pressure put on this relationship.
Sure.
And I think Tom's arc with his dad in season 8 is Tom comes back. His dad is so happy to see him, so proud of him for becoming the man he is now, that his dad wants to, I think in season 8, his dad tries to like clear Tom's record. And Tom's like, wait a minute. But I did those things. Mm. I think Admiral Paris wants the perfect son again in a new way. He's like, no, you've changed. So none of that shouldn't be on your record. You shouldn't have a prison record.
You don't want that expunged.
And Tom's like, wait
record.
A minute. No, I don't want that expunged.
You
want
to keep that
I did
there.
That stuff. Yeah. And like, that's part of who I, and I think, so Tom has really made a evolution to, and there's going to be some conflict there.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he's kind of, wait a minute. Now my dad, who was so disappointed in me, is now at the other extreme, thinks that I'm perfect and I'm not.
Yeah.
So there's that he's dealing with. And then the Tom and B'Elanna stuff, I think B'Elanna initially, when she gets back, she decides she just wants to focus on being a mom. I think she's like, consults Starfleet.
Well,
she tries to be a mom.
Okay.
And they're going to have this happy family.
Yes.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But let's continue with the meetings. So with B'Elanna, yes. Her dad is there. Yes.
Yes. Her dad is there.
How did that go? How do you see that going?
I think it was good. I think the beginning of season eight is celebration.
Yeah. For everybody.
It feels like a happy ending. Yeah.
And then some cracks in the relationship start to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But I think in that initial meeting with her dad,
yeah,
it's good. Mm-hmm. It's, I think B'Elanna feels really emotional about it. Yeah. I think, you know what?
I want her uncle also at the headquarters, at Starfleet headquarters, that reunion. Yeah. I want the uncle and the two kids, the cousins, the cousin that pulled the practical joke. Yeah. To tease her, and the sister. Yeah. There was a boy and a girl, right? Boy cousin, a girl cousin, and the boy cousin put the frog or whatever it was, the snail on her food. So yes, I want them there grown up, and I want them, you know, I want some type of redeeming scene there where they're
apologize.
Oh yeah. And they... Where he was like, hey, you know, I was an idiot when I was a kid, you know, we're so proud of you. I mean, everybody talks about you. You are the star of this family. You're the highlight of the family, basically.
Yeah.
You know? So the Torres family, you're the rock star. And I just want to, I'd love to see that scene.
I'd love to see that scene too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
And I think that when she feels all this love and all this family, that's why B'Elanna decides early in season eight
to be mom.
I'm going to be a full-time mom. Family first.
So is she consulting though? Is she consulting with?
She's consulting. Yeah, because she's super smart. So she doesn't stop working. But she's like,
those would be great scenes if Janeway is calling, trying to call B'Elanna, and she's in the midst of she's nursing, she's making baby food or whatever. That'd be awesome, right? To see that sort of What do you need, Captain? Okay. Let me give you could try this. Bah, 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 right. Yeah.
I think the thing that happens for her is, you know, family first kind of is her thing. I'm going to do that.
Yes.
And then I think she realizes that this Maquis thing comes back around, because even though the Cardassian war's over and the Maquis were all terrorists and all of her friends are jailed, but she's given a pardon, she feels guilty about that.
No, most of them.
And I think what's going to happen in season eight is that there's a few scattered Maquis that are left.
That are in hiding.
Yes, in hiding.
Okay.
And they make contact with her and they start saying, hey, we were treated horribly. Like the way that they treated us when they arrested us, like terrorists, Starfleet treated. And she starts kind of going down that darker road again, even though she's got this family. And so I think she's going to try and work with these underground Maquis who are scattered to try to get the Maquis redeemed or freed or something. And she's willing to break the rules to do it.
Okay.
And that's sort of her mission. And she and Tom, because Tom's going to start to find out about it. And Tom's going to be like,
he's not going
to, wait a minute. Yeah. I used to be a rule breaker, but this is not the right thing to do.
Okay. Yep.
And there's going to be a lot of conflict with them.
Yep. Okay.
And I feel like that arc for Tom and B'Elanna and Maral, their baby, is that near the end, they're going to break apart. It's going to break them, that marriage, for a while.
Yeah.
And something's going to happen in season eight for B'Elanna, where she's doing this thing she really believes in, but she realizes at some point she's in a situation where Maral is at risk, where Maral is, you know, the baby is at risk, and she decides family first. It's not Maquis first. It's not Starfleet first. It's family first. And she somehow, she and Tom sort of reconcile, work together, family first. And that's sort of their arc, I feel like, for, for season eight. Like, Tom's able to kind of address his rebellious past and deals with it with his dad, deals with it with her breaking rules and, you know, not wanting to go down that road, not wanting to be perfect.
Yeah.
She goes down the darker path of like the Maquis. And I think that would be very cool.
It is. Cool. It is. But I also feel like you can hold off on that, and that could be season nine. I don't know. I don't need to. There's so much stuff you've already mapped out right now, which I'm very impressed by.
Got to have a lot of story in season
eight.
Yeah,
you do. You do. So yeah, but okay, let's keep going on the on all of our main people. So let's go to Tuvok. So Tuvok, it's going to be his wife, right? T'Pol will be
He's going to see his wife
and
yes,
all his kids, right? Doesn't he have multiple children?
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful, again, it feels like a happy,
super, super happy,
happy story in the beginning, but something's going to happen to where his, the thing he's dealing with, his senility, his,
well, isn't okay, but his doesn't he do the Vulcan mind meld with somebody?
Well, he needs to do that.
Yeah, he's going to have to get that done, and he'll be healed from his mental issues.
Yeah, but here's what happens for him.
Okay, go.
So he's back. It's really happy reunion, but they realize, oh, something's up. We got to do this mind meld thing with the family members, right? So a couple episodes later, they're, you know, they're finally ready to do that. They've got this family member. They're going to do it.
Yeah.
And when they do it, it doesn't work quite right.
Ooh,
and you know why it doesn't work? Because he was Tuvix.
Oh!
He was Tuvix.
He still has a little bit of Neelix DNA in him, so he's not exactly and himself. So oh, my
now
goodness.
What they need is they need Neelix.
We've got to grab Neelix from the Delta Quadrant to bring him back.
That's part of Janeway's going back, dude.
Yeah.
That's like Janeway needs to got to get Neelix back here.
Hey,
we got to get Neelix back to save Tuvok because he was Tuvix.
We need a little Neely to help out the Tuvi. Okay, I like it. Good job, Robin.
So that's that's an arc for Tuvok, which kind of dovetails into what Janeway's trying to do. She's trying to go back and fix the timeline. Kind of dovetails into Seven's being drawn into the Borg. And she's going to help them get back, get Neelix. Ultimately, I think we do get through somehow.
Right.
Janeway breaks a bunch of rules like she always does.
Right.
And does get back. But what Seven doesn't tell them while she's doing her part to help is that she's being kind of groomed for the next queen job. And she's going to have to make a decision.
Yes.
About what to do. Here's where I think the funny for season eight is going to come.
Yeah.
Harry Kim.
All Harry then. Okay.
I literally think Harry goes on a, like a rock star tour the Delta, of the Alpha Quadrant.
In what manner? What is he doing?
He's the guy who's like, everybody else is, you know, Tom and B'Elanna want to go make a little home and and, you know, Tuvok's got his issues.
Is Harry motivational speaking? Is he going around
talking
to like...
He's the motivational speaker. He's going around to all these bases and visiting ships.
Yeah.
But he gets dragged into this rock star mentality.
Oh, my God.
So that's
where
our comedy
comes
from.
Tony Robbins. So he's being kind of motivational.
He's going to go down...
He gets pulled into this sort of... I'm a famous, you know, rock star guy now.
Yeah.
And he's buying all the hype and he's buying into it and kind of he's getting the big head.
He's got the girls
he's
love
got the
him.
Yeah.
And his mom and dad. So back to that reunion episode, like his mom and dad are so proud of him.
Yeah.
And they're like, they want him to be a captain or an admiral.
Right.
Like they want him back on that track, but he's drawn into the rock star life. And so that's our comedy for the season is all the Harry Kim escapades of.
And, you know, maybe if he goes down that where he seems to
dark
be
sometimes.
Right. When it gets to the darkest for Harry, when he starts really kind of just.
He's having drinking a little too much synthahol.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Staying up with the ladies.
Yes. But maybe it's Libby, his ex-fiance that finds him sort of in that gutter, that proverbial gutter, and just shakes him. It's like, Harry, what are you doing? And we bring back the same actress that played
Libby
back then. Yeah. So I thought, you know, maybe that's his wake up call or something, or maybe it's Tom that picks Harry up out of the gutter. That'd be a nice one too, because Tom,
Tom would be great. I also wonder if there's something in season 8 where Harry has to deal with the idea that he's a duplicate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because he's been so busy up until now. He hasn't really thought about it, right? So now he's got some time. Maybe there's some existential questions that Harry has for himself. He's trying to be introspective and just trying to figure out. Or maybe it affects him where he can't figure it out. And that's why he's kind of going off the deep end in a way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's the root reason why he's buying into the rock star thing, hanging out with thousands of women, you know, and doing whatever, drinking, drugs, you name it, because he can't deal with the fact that he's not the real Harry. Yeah. That's really messing with him. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think
that
would be a really interesting arc. I love that. Those things happening for Harry.
I love that.
Throughout the season. The other thing I think that's in season 8 that would be very cool is that, you know, maybe in the first episode or two, we see them on Voyager, you know, that's back. But I think that Starfleet takes the ship itself into, like, you know, dry dock or to examine it or to, like, go through it. Or they just want to, you know, like, they take it out of commission. Voyager's out of commission.
Yeah.
So that we bring it back at the end of season 8 in the last few episodes.
Sweet. Okay.
That we have to, like, Janeway's plan and Seven's issues and all that, they have to go get this thing that's supposed to be out of dry protected.
Dock. Right. Yeah. So the Admiral Janeway timeline, where when we watched the finale, Voyager became an actual museum, that will not happen in our season 8, correct? The Voyager.
I don't
is not
think
a
it'll
museum.
Happen. I don't think it's even at the museum stage yet. They're still in season 8, sort of. Yeah. They're going over this with a fine, you know, DNA evidence and fine tooth comb. So it's in, you know, dry dock and examination phase most of
so
the
So every
season.
Millimeter of Voyager is being examined, basically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
And we didn't talk about the doctor.
Yeah, no. We didn't talk about it. Also, we have to talk about Neelix as well. So we have to talk about Neelix, the doctor. We did talk about Seven already.
To say it, but I don't think Neelix is around much until we figure out, because of the Tuvix thing.
Tuvix issue, yes.
How to help Tuvok. Yes. So I think he comes in the last.
No, but why can't we see what, you know, why can't we get a status report or status update on Neelix with his new bride or whatever? Like, we could have you can have a scene or two there of just showing Neelix what, you know, what he's up to. Or,
so they're
or
communicating
Seven,
with him?
Yes, exactly. Because remember, Seven was playing Catascot with Neelix in the episode. They showed that. So maybe she resumes
but we were
her
in the Delta Quadrant. Like, the
that
only
is correct.
Way we could send messages before was through the, you know, the message machine or whatever.
Yeah, the array. We still do that. We can still do that with Neelix from the Alpha Quadrant to the Delta Quadrant using the same array.
So we still see him pop in, but we don't really get him physically with us until the last third of the season.
No. But we don't. I mean, we should have Neelix in every episode of season 8, a little bit of, or every maybe, you know, every third or fourth episode maybe, but at least someone, either Seven, whoever it may be, someone is, Janeway maybe is in contact with him, sort of like, hey, how's it going, give us a lowdown. And he's just going through his life as a stepdad, as a new husband with Dexa. So
I think there could be something if Janeway and Seven start working together to try to go back and fix this timeline. I think the doctor could be pulled into here's what I think happens to the doctor in season 8. I think he gets back, and initially he's part of the team, right? He's one of our crew, he's a hero, but then he's sent back to the lab where he was created, and his program, he's like one of many, you know what I mean?
Well,
like
EMH. Could you, just pause for a split second. Remember the episode at the end, which showed the many, many doctors? So could our doctor get back to Earth and become an activist in trying to get all the other EMH Mark Ones out of cleaning warp core crap and stuff, right? I mean, they're all doing menial labor right now, and maybe he's the one there that becomes, in his own way, a rock star for his own hologram people, his own EMH Mark One fellow EMH.
Yeah,
Mark
I think that's a great way to put it. He's sort of an activist for that, and he's. But I think he's got to at first have the kind of downtime of like, where's all the excitement? Like, I used to be, you know, on a ship.
Yeah.
Exploring, you know, I was a command hologram, and now I'm in the lab again. Like, I'm bored. I think he's got to go through a little bit of boredom. Then he discovers this purpose.
Then don't put him in a lab. Put him in an apartment or a condo or a townhome where he's just sitting around like, you know, because he is a sentient being now, right? I mean, we've given him all these rights. So why is he at the lab? He doesn't even have to be in the lab.
He's got the mobile emitter, right?
He's got the mobile emitter. He could just be anywhere he wants. So
is he the only one with the mobile emitter? Do they start to...
No. I mean, I guess they could reverse engineer it. But here's the thing, though. That's 300 years in the future technology. How are you going to figure that out? He's the only one. Let's say he's the only one. Okay. So now he has his regular life, his home, and he's trying to, you know, just make it as a individual, basically. And you're right. He's bored as hell. He's like, what's going on? I'm not.
And I think there's probably a lot of bias against him because people on Earth don't look at holograms like we do. You know, we learned look at him as a, you know, an equal member, but
right. And everyone on Earth already knows him as an EMH Mark One. All the EMH Mark Ones on Earth are digging in caves, and they are cleaning warp core crap. You know, they're not doing anything other than the most menial of tasks. Yeah. And it's slave labor is what it is. It's horrible. Yeah. Right. So hard labor is what it is. So, yeah. So I think
I think the other thing that the doctor has a key to, when Janeway from the future came back, didn't he give her that medicine that she had brought from the doctor in the future? Like, he's the doctor on our ship. She got some kind of...
He got some stuff. See, that Promethazine or whatever, that advanced medication. She did. He had it for her. So you're saying tie that in as well? Something going on.
There may be a way, like, she needs him. Mm-hmm. This is my evil plan for season 8, is that 7, the doctor and Janeway need to get back over there to fix the timeline and also to save Tuvok's life because they need Neelix.
Yeah.
Because of the Tuvix thing.
Right.
So the doctor's got to have some part of this plan. He's got to have something that when Janeway came back, he's the only one that has the compound information or something. It wasn't in the ship's computer.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was just something that's only in him, in his database, in his that they need him to help fix this time. I mean, timelines are messy. Let's just
They are. I was going to say off the bat, I didn't want to jump into temporal stuff right off the bat, but you took the ball and I'm going to roll with you. So I will say, okay.
I think it's a big issue. It's a big issue. Mm-hmm. And I think 7's Borgness has not been resolved. We've sort of like slowly sort of whittled, and suddenly she was having all these feelings with Chakotay, and the doctor was removing her cortical.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you see them married, getting married in season 8?
No.
Nope. Yeah.
I think that they have a romance phase, and then this other stuff becomes the big issue for 7. The Borg, like, just not being able to shake the Borgness. It doesn't feel resolved for her.
What if she breaks up the Borg queen
issue?
Yeah.
That is the thing that...
Yeah, that makes her say, maybe that makes her push Chakotay away, right? That whole Borg thing.
Like, yeah, because we know in Picard,
like,
whatever happened in season 8 would have to dovetail into what we know about Picard. We know that she... I haven't seen all the Picards, I gotta be honest. So, but I know that she's not with Chakotay in Picard.
Correct.
And so something has to happen that ends the Chakotay thing in season 8.
Right.
Like, it's part of her learning about herself more, but she, that's not her path.
Yeah. So maybe she has this montage dream and thoughts of like all the times that Harry was really cool around her. And she's like, gosh, no, he's really the guy for me was Harry. And then as she tries to call Harry up, Harry flings her to the side because he's with one of his many floozies that he's, you know, just kind of hanging with. So
he's our comic relief for season eight.
Harry's just like, yeah. So Seven's like, hey, Harry, do you want to kind of get lunch? He's like, Hey, Seven, I'm so busy.
He's at the casino.
I'm at the casino. Yeah.
He's at a rave.
I'm doing all the things that I did in 1997 and 98.
Yes.
In Vegas. There you go. Harry moves to Vegas. And he lives there. Okay. No, but you're right. I do think if she has that whole understory of the Borg Queen still all that stuff pulling her, that would definitely affect her relationship with Chakotay.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe that's what causes her to just shy off of relationships. But then eventually she does have a relationship with Michelle Hurd's character. Yeah. Oh, you don't know that, do you? Do you know?
I kind of knew generally that. That's why
Michelle Hurd
is. We got to finish the Chakotay thing in season eight.
Yes.
And I think that whatever she does with dealing with her Borgness in season eight has to feel like a real resolution so that she can move on to Picard.
Right.
So she can move on to that version of Seven. This should dovetail into that. So she can't be with Chakotay. We got to finish Chakotay.
Right. For sure. Chakotay is going to have to go.
I think Chakotay.
And
I think he gets back to his roots of his tribe and his spiritual side. And I think when Seven is drawn into this Borg thing and his heart is broken, he goes back to find some comfort with his spiritual side. And I think Chakotay in the end, but kind of becomes like a spirit leader, like a spiritual leader of some kind. He's a very,
that makes sense. Yeah. So because he's so heartbroken,
he goes full
Okuchi Moya completely into that phase. And then, he becomes a spiritual leader. He becomes a spiritual Tony Robbins. So he's able to talk to all the people and lead them down the right path.
And then Harry, who's gone down the dark path.
Maybe it's Chakotay.
With all the partying and the raves.
Is it Chakotay that brings him back?
Chakotay that brings him back.
Oh, yeah. So not Libby, not my ex, but Chakotay. Maybe Chakotay with the assistance of Tom. Both of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it takes two of you to come.
Tom's got,
Right? You got to be there. You can't.
We got to go kidnap you.
Operation Harry. Kidnap Harry. That's pretty funny. Like, I'll have all these these beefy security guys around me and everything, and you guys have to take them out or do something to foil them. There's a lot of good stuff here, and Harry is the comic relief. Well, Robbie, I think we've laid it out.
I feel like that season eight to me, what we've talked about
sounds great.
I feel like that would be really satisfying for people, like to feel the issues that coming back from 7 years on your own and having to face reality again, what those issues would be. And I think they'd be pretty significant. And I think they would fit together really nicely and feel like kind of not only are we back, but we're back and on everybody's on their correct path where they need to be.
You know what's most exciting about this episode that we're doing and this conversation that we're having right now for me is that we've just laid out this blueprint. It's almost like we are the showrunners of Star Trek Voyager season 8. We could do this. We can go to Paramount and say, hey, let's get the licensing for this. We're going to do this because Secret Hideout has no interest in this, but we have a lot of interest and let's just do this. Why not?
It'd be
wonderful.
It would be really incredible to
do that.
We can't do season 8 now because too much time has gone by. There are so many talented, creative fans that, whether it's fan fiction or whether it's animation or whether it's stop motion stuff or,
But that's how you turn time back. If you have really good animation though, and I'm talking about, remember the Aha video where the guy was all animated, but it was exactly him. Not cheesy, not caricature type of.
Not Lower Decks?
Not Lower Decks. I'm talking about the most realistic animation you can possibly have. And our voices. People would buy that. They would watch that. They'd be into it. And they would love it because
Season
we
eight.
Deserve it. Season 8, Voyager. There it is. I love this. This is so good. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other words, or are we're going to leave it out there? I mean, there's a lot people are thinking right now. There's a lot of wheels are turning as I'm speaking right now.
There's a lot of things that were just unresolved.
I mean, so many. That's why it's easy, I think, to continue the Voyager story because of the unresolved questions, the multiple unresolved questions.
Yeah.
Including your salamander children.
We didn't even talk about that. That's season nine.
Well, that's my idea for the feature film, right? The Voyager feature film.
The angry kids.
Yeah. And Seska's angry kid as well. So those are the villains in my Voyager feature film. But in Voyager season 8, the TV series, I love your ideas. Most definitely. Especially, how did you think about that Tuvix thing? Did you just pull that out of your bum bum?
No, I thought about it. I told you I was a little nervous about this. I was really thinking about how
I'm very impressed because so you did think about that one. That Tuvix thing came off of deep thought. It wasn't just like pulling it out. Yeah.
No.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I'm impressed. I think it's a great idea because it makes sense, right?
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, because they're doing a mind melt and it's not working. It's not working.
And they can't finally figure out why. Yeah, and then they do some scans or whatever, some tests, and they're like, oh, wait, something happened to you in the Delta Quadrant.
The doctor does all the scans. So we bring him in. He's the one that finds, and he's working tirelessly.
And he knows because he was there. Yeah,
he was there. Perfect. See, all the players are working on season 8, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Cool.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast. Don't give up on us. We're still going to be coming back with some more stuff.
We are.
You know, because of the SAG-AFTRA strike, we are limited in some of the things we can keep talking about. But we're going to keep doing everything we can to keep this podcast going. And we've got some ideas when the strike is over. I think you're going to be very excited about it. So. Stick with us. Don't go anywhere.
We may even talk about why Robbie likes the color orange.
That'll be a multi-part episode. There's a lot to say about orange.
We could talk about motorcycles for multiple episodes. I know that for sure.
We can talk about motorcycle. My motorcycle's pulled apart in the garage.
I went to ride it the other day
and like the battery was... It needed some work, so I'm getting it fixed up, but I'll be back on the road very soon. Don't you guys worry.
Yay. Good to hear. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. Robbie and I had a lot of fun recording this one. I'm actually very inspired and excited. Like I want to flesh this out in my head more. I want to see if I can write the spec script for season 8, episode 1 and show this to Robbie and see what he says.
All right.
Excited. All right, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day. See you later.